Okay, let me try to add an element today, a very significant one, I think, to the things we've been talking about in terms of the Lord leading and preparing and gifting and equipping us to be in ministry with Him. You know, we've talked about He has a sizable project, and He trains us up to be in it with Him. We have gone through the whole progression of Isaiah 61, where it talks about first presenting the gospel, then healing the hearts of people, and using those same people that are healed to intervene in the lives of others, and coming out at that being manifest and evidence and witness to all nations. That's where that chapter ends. So, in looking at that from another perspective, I wanna talk to you about something that I heard from the Lord recently, I believe, having to do with the nature of ministry and the cooperation with Him in it, how that partnership looks. And here is the here's the thing that I heard that I feel I heard the Lord saying, that that ministry, He was saying, is my compassion and power, the compassion and power of God combined with your faith in them. The way ministry works is the Lord's compassion and power present and working in the midst of a situation, and our faith in that reality, and our responding and moving in that reality. Okay, that's the overview. Now let me say some specific things about that scripturally. Okay. In Mark, in the first chapter of Mark, there is a statement. It says, "Now a leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him, and saying to Him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Now, that's a beginning to draw on both of these realities. If you're willing, if you're wanting to respond to me, if you care about my struggle, you can do something. That's the power side of it, huh? Then Jesus, it says, then Jesus, moved with compassion. Mark 1, verse 40. See, the leper is very clear on his need for compassion. That's about his only hope, isn't it? Is there any cure for leprosy? You can't even be out socially, you know. I mean, his only hope is that something happened with it, you know. He's pretty much in touch with his need for compassion, and that's what he's crying out for. And kneeling down, see, he's a broken fella. Then it says, Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, which most people wouldn't do, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." The compassion that moves him to exercise power over the situation. Mark chapter 9. This is around. This is the whole thing where there's a boy who is tormented by a mute spirit and thrown around into the water, into the fire, trying to kill him. And the disciples are attempting to to cast out that spirit, and they're not able to. Remember that one? And Jesus comes on the scene as they have been attempting to do that. This is like verse 14 of Mark 9 and following. And he asks the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, you know, all his life this has been going on. And often, verse 22, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And here is what he says. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe that I have compassion and power, all things are possible. Now, is it hard for us to believe that? See, we're very much identified with earning. If we get it right, God will help us. Not so much thinking that out of his compassion he will help us because we're in a desperate condition, not because we're, you know, doing something to get him to. You know what I'm saying? That I don't know that any of us have really learned to expect and look for and seek compassion. I think in the process of life, something happens to our compassion, to our need for compassion. Because is compassion prevalent in the world? Is that what you usually get? No. Mercy and compassion and patience. I see that we usually get. You know? That need gets kind of clobbered, you know. But these people here are in a desperate enough strait, see, that they are back in touch with that and they are crying out for compassion. Now this has an impact on healing. And I don't know how much we'll talk about that today, but what I began to see as I looked more closely at this is in my prayer times and talking to the Lord about it and everything, is I had a sense of the Lord present, moving into the midst, coming into the situation with compassion and power and looking on things with that attitude. And I have begun to call on that very deliberately in the times that I meet with people. See, I'm talking to folks and everything, but I'm also aware of the Lord's presence and of his compassion and of his power to do something about it, and basically asking, what do you want to do here? And I have to tell you that, number one, seeing that causes me to know him in a different way. He is moved by compassion. See, I mean, if we think about it, it's so true. You know, if we think about it, what would cause him to come from the glory of being with his Father here to get us? Incredible compassion on our condition and on our plight. And the power to do something about it, despite the complexity of the barriers and difficulties that surround us. You know. And in so many of the situations described in Scripture, that is exactly what it says is functioning. His compassion toward us, and that he is moved by it. Now, this word for compassion and moved by compassion, they're actually the same word that's used there. It means to have the bowels yearn. It's a real deep gut level caring and concern and yearning for that person. It's a combination of things: inward affection, a deep inward affection, and tender mercy. Rather intense to the point that we, you know, can't manage not to act on it. I want to look at, I think this is Matthew 9 as well in this regard, because there's a passage of scripture here that lays it out very clearly. And in my Bible, the heading is the compassion of Jesus. This is Matthew 9, 35 and following. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. See, this is him moving among, being in the midst with those attitudes and impacting lives and people with them. Then it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. Do we see that? And feel it at times? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He sees the struggle that they're in and is moved by compassion toward them. Then he said to his disciples, look at this. Look at this. I don't think they can see it the way he's seeing it, but basically he's saying, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, what that sounds like to me is he wants some folks to be raised up and share his perspective on this and move with him in it. Yeah? And is that what's happening in our lives? That he is moving us in that direction through whatever, you know, is in the way, you know, and sometimes we're scattered, sometimes we're weary, and sometimes we're seeing and moving. Interestingly, in chapter 10, he calls them to him and sends them out. They're the laborers. First he says, pray for laborers, and then he sends them. So be careful. But he's going to send out laborers into his harvest. And that's what we're talking about here, that he will raise up folks and he will send us. And we've talked about some of the elements there. Well, when he does, will we have the right to go? Do we have permission? Do we have authority? Do we have, you know, are we adequate? Are we all those things we wrestle with, you know? And getting through those to be able to go ahead and respond to God in the things that he directs us in. Let me talk a little bit about this whole compassion issue, because I began to reflect on it more and more. I think it's actually a little bit difficult for us to come from the place of needing compassion. And yet, given the fact that God is moved by compassion and has the power to exercise it, that'd be the best place for us to come from, right? Our need for compassion from him. Have any of you wrestled with the difference between being adequate and needing compassion? You know, getting it right, you know, understanding, knowing, getting a handle on things, and need for compassion. See, they're different, aren't they? You know. And I think God is wanting us to get to a place where we understand his compassion because we're in touch with our need for it. And we need it at all levels. But somehow that is difficult for us. See, I when I was reflecting on this, you know, and in terms of the relationship that it has to God healing, I don't know all that many people who can easily get in touch with their compassion and call upon God solely on the basis of His compassion for them and anticipate that that's all it's going to take. You know, do you know what I mean? It's like, what's the key here? What's the formula? How do we do this? What is my responsibility? You know, how do I get this to happen? It's rather difficult for us to think that He wants to move, that He already has compassion for us, and to move into that with Him. I see that as a personal struggle, and I see it as an issue all over the body of Christ. So I began to reflect on what happens to our need and our awareness of our need for compassion from God. What has happened to that? What has happened to our need for compassion generally? You know? And because how many of you, here's one way that I look at this, see. When I notice that when I ask God about things, healing or change or provision or whatever, I don't generally come like this man whose son is being thrown in the fire, you know, by a mute spirit, and who's been tormented for years and years and is at his wit's end and cries out for compassion and does that with abandon because he's not concerned anymore about how he looks or his pride or any stuff. See, he is crying out to God, help me if you can have compassion, help us. See, is that how we pray? We in touch with our need for compassion like that? Or the leper. See, he's coming from that same place. He sees Jesus. He sees the possibility there. He believes that's possible. He is on his knees. He falls to his knees imploring God. We're out of touch with that. So I said to the Lord, I'm not in touch with that, Lord. I'm sure it's true. You know, I wouldn't dispute it being true, Lord, that I need that kind of compassion. But I am not in touch with it. What happened to that? And I genuinely was asking the Lord that. I mean, I was in a prayer time, genuinely asking the Lord, what happened to that? And I'll tell you what I saw. The sense that I had is that aspect of my heart and character, emotional life, God kind of trampled underfoot. There wasn't a whole lot of sensitivity and compassion, and so it just kind of got trampled, you know, and like went underground. And I felt like hadn't fully been heard from since. So we perhaps have to look at retrieving that need and quality before we can invest it or expect it or move with it. See, I think that unless we're more in touch with that, we're not going to be able to relate to God coming into the midst, being in the midst with great compassion and willingness to exercise His power toward us and others. But if we don't see that, we're not going to move in power with Him. We're going to be trying to get it figured out or trying to get something to happen that He's already committed to. Does that make sense? So I said, okay, Lord, help me get in touch with that that reality and that quality of heart that I have gotten rather separated from in life. And I'll tell you, when I was driving in this morning, I was thinking about this. And I was remembering a time some years ago now. I was actually still living in Orange County and going to a church that and experiencing a certain amount of opposition and struggle and judgment. You know, a lot of a lot of judgment going on that was not being discussed directly, you know, with me, and even when it was, it was quite painful place, you know. And I remember this particular Sunday morning, the pastor was preaching on mercy. And I don't remember the particular scripture right now, but the statement there of the Lord's mercy just really hit my heart. And I think that it actually got in touch. It actually hit this need for compassion, you know, our need for compassion. And after the sermon, he had the altar open, and I invited people, you know, to come up and pray. And I went up and knelt at the altar, and I said, Lord, you know, that is a reality. Right now, I feel in such need of mercy, just the simplicity and the grace of mercy instead of all the stuff, you know. And I actually was thinking of that, you know, more in terms of people who are more into picking apart than mercy, you know. That was my experience at that moment. But what the Lord did was pour out His. And I left kind of smiling at the quality of that and everything. But see, we need mercy. There's a great need for compassion. That's a time when I really got in touch with that, and I was reminded of that this morning, you know. But we're not always in touch with that. That's my sense, and I think I see that generally pretty widely. We're not coming from that level of simplicity a lot of the time. So I said, okay, Lord, help me retrieve that vital need, although it makes me very uncomfortable. It's a level of vulnerability that, you know, what it feels like, it could get you killed, you know, if you try to employ it very, very generally. You know, it's the kind of thing that could just get you even more killed. So I had some mixed feelings about that, but when I did get through to that that need that had gotten kind of disconnected, I was pretty beat up, really in need of kind of restoring and comforting and reviving by the Lord, and I felt like that went on for several days. That's all that could go on. You know, that there was just like a holding on to and kind of breathing life back into, and just this process of restoring that sense of need, you know, and to a place where there would be any courage to invest it, because, you know, the belief gets to be when certain areas in our life get crushed, is that that's the only thing that will happen. If you reach out in any way at that level again, the same thing will occur. You'll get crushed. You know, you'll get smashed. So then, but see, this is one of the ones that I stayed with. You know, we can glimpse things like that, and then depart for 6 months, or a year, or 2 years, or however long. You know, this one I stayed with every day, checking in. How are we doing, Lord? In the mornings, you know. And really, if you were going to picture it as a person, there'd be this person kind of tucked in at the Lord's bosom, not willing to look at anything. that's the kind of sense I have. And that went on for days. Then one morning, there's a looking around. You know, it's not. Not hiding away anymore. There's kind of a looking around, and I don't know. It was within a week or so, I felt like I could more kind of reconnect and begin to interact with that part of my heart. Now I'm talking about stuff we've talked about here before, where David talks about communing with your own heart. Okay, and I said, this is my head, kind of talking to my heart. Talk to me. Need for compassion. I need to get to know you. I need, I see that if I'm going to function in this area with the Lord, I'm going to need you back, you know. So I invited, tell me about this quality. And here's what I heard. I wrote it down. Well, I'm small and weak, relatively blind, not knowing truth unless the Lord shows me, schooled more in the world than in the kingdom, not completely well, under terrific opposition that is more wily than I can fathom. I need a strong, wise, loving shepherd to take care of me, to have compassion on my plight and save me continually. That is my honest need, if I am not to be ravaged by the darkness. Now, I would say, see, that's a reality of where we are in relationship to the Lord and why He is moved by compassion, because that's our condition. And He has the power to do something about it. And if we can be aware of that need in ourselves and we can relate to it in others, we will probably more be able to see that truth about Him, that He is present in the midst, bringing compassion and power to save and heal and restore. And that will be very energizing for us, huh, in terms of believing Him and praying with people and following Him in that. Now, what we're talking about here is discovering how that works and moving in to ministry with the Lord. Okay, now if we got a hold of that, is there any place that you couldn't function in that, if in whatever way the Lord moved us? See, that is a reality of knowing God and sharing His heart and letting Him show us how He wants to use that wherever we are. Yes? Could we also call that empowering? Now, what will happen if we come into that with Him and begin to function in that way? What do you think will happen? Okay, the doors will open. All of them? I would say that's probably true. Some doors will open because that's what, you know, we're kind of following Him and He's able to do that. Some doors will open, some may close. Because that's not exactly our way of, you know, our structure of how it works, you know. So if there are questions about that being a viable way of going about it, you know, the questions of can we hear God now? Are the gifts still functioning? You know, you'd see in a lot of environments that there may be some abrasiveness about that. So some doors will open, some may close. But I think we're looking at getting to a place where the outcome of believing God and moving with Him in that way is exactly what He says. People get healed, moved, changed, raised up, equipped, and that's a lasting work, isn't it? And I believe that most of you, that's what you're looking for. That's the kind of place you're really looking for with the Lord. So that's bad timing. But can't do anything about it now. Okay, let me see if there's anything else I want to say about this before you get to comment. I think that's it, except I want to say one other thing here. There are two, I think there are a couple of faces to our compassion and tenderness and responsiveness to the Lord. There are a couple of things that impact that. One is whatever has happened to us in life, and what has happened to us in the church can also impact that. Sometimes I have been looking lately at and talking with folks, and when we get hurt or disappointed in our experience in the body of Christ, it can really dampen or hinder or silence or put us, you know, kind of put us on the shelf a little bit, because that seems safer. You know, we come to some conclusions. Doesn't work. I can't get it to work. And you know, and I can't keep getting beat up, so I'll just be over here, you know. And I know a number of people who, in venturing out with the Lord in some of these ways, have gotten hurt, and now are in a place where they're not really able to reinvest very fully. They're watching. They may show up. they're watching and observing. But they're not really invested, you know. So I think there are a variety of ways to speak into these realities in lives at whatever level they are, and they may be both, you know, just kind of our own life experience and wounding and stuff, and whatever has happened in the church. But one that I am looking at, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen with it, is a recovery group for disappointment in the church. And the name of it is Let Your Peace Return to You. It's from Matthew 10, where that's what the Lord says. If you go out and you extend your peace and it's not received, let it return to you. And go on and extend it again. Reinvest. Lots of us get stuck in that place. You know, we extend it, it gets smashed, we don't get it fully returned, and we're not at a place where we can reinvest it. And that's been really grieving me lately, because I don't think that anything hardly is more precious than the gifting and calling of God on our lives. Not exactly the things to be put on the shelf. Right? So, this is a... These are some topics that I'm looking at as ways to deal with some of that, because whatever has happened, it has happened, but we need to be freed from it. You know, we need to be freed entirely so that we can get on with it, so that we can actually be ones who intervene in that situation and are able to help turn it around, and don't become part of the kind of agree with the dampening. I don't even know where I am in that, but I am reinvesting. we'll see what happens. But I'm very much reinvesting, and have, I guess, you know, done that a number of times. Haven't seen it in as sharply as I'm seeing it right now, but. Now, I tell you what happens, I think, when we get to the place where we can, and we're not about to have the precious things of God put on the shelf, is it's very freeing. It feels pretty good, you know, that whatever it looks like, put my head down and keep going, you know. And that's, the Lord has said that to me. Keep going. He's fine with it. Keep going. All right. Let me